Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of The Alchemy of True Success. And thanks so much for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, bringing business to spirituality and spirituality to business. Each show, we are committed to helping you, our enlightened audience, discover your purpose, share your gifts, and monetize your message. Life is short, so let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soul to Profit Radio. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, and I'm happy to have you join us for another enlightening, thought-provoking, and super fun show. Now, I'm sure for all of you sensitive people out there that you're feeling the effects of this recent Mercury retrograde. I mean, I know I am in my life, and things seem to be happening in my life at super fast speed, but given that, you know, it also can cause a little bit of a challenge. Things, I feel, also at times a little off balance, and probably many of you who are sensitive or intuitives are feeling similarly. So I wanted to start the show off today by pulling a card from my deck, which is Manifesting Wealth and Wisdom Daily Oracle Cards. And let's see what I'm shuffling the deck. Let's see what we need to know that will help bring some clarity for us around this time. Okay, interesting. I pulled the intentions card, and I'll read it to you. It says, the universe is reminding you that intentions are like boomerangs. What you put out comes back to you. The higher your intentions, which means that adds to the greater good, the more assistance you'll receive from the spiritual realm. Remember, what you intend for others, you create for yourself. So here's a couple action steps for you. To become clear about your intentions, ask and answer the following questions. What am I seeking and why? What is my current frame of mind around this particular situation? So ask those two questions. What am I seeking and why is the first one. And the second is, what is my current frame of mind toward this particular situation? And lastly, intending on blessing and assisting others will increase the likelihood of blessings coming to you. So I take this card as a reminder to all of us during this really intense and energetic time to be clear about what your intentions are and to make sure that they're of the highest vibration, you know, that your intentions are around making a difference in other people's lives and serving other people and living the most magnificent life you can. Because as we know, wherever you put your energy and focus, you'll get more of. So as you continue to raise your thought process around what you're intending to experience, you'll find that more things will come back to you that are aligned with that higher intention. So good. This card makes a lot of sense for what's going on. I hope people found that helpful on the call today. Now, before I introduce my fantastic guest, and he really is fantastic, I've been looking forward to having a conversation with him for a long time, I wanted to give a few shout-outs out to a dear friend and loyal listener. Her name is Nan, and she celebrated her birthday recently. So, Nan, please know that we're thinking about you and we love you dearly. Nan and I have been friends for a long, long time. She's such a sweetheart. Also, I'd like to thank my dear friend Constance Arnold for an amazing coaching call last night with our Wealth Purpose Coaching clients. We have a group, coaching group that we've put together with some pretty amazing people who are just rocking it, and they made one of our clients announced that she made a tremendous shift in her thinking after our call 2 weeks ago, and she added a bunch of people to her new webinar that she created. So we're super happy for her. Way to go, Lee. That's awesome. And I'd also like to thank my friend Cindy Smith. She and I taught our Spiritual and Financial Freedom course this past weekend together in Penticton, British Columbia. And I just love it when I see people's faces light up, you know, when they have their aha moments and they finally figure out what's been keeping them stuck and they get through it and they just seem lighter, you know, more energetic, and that just keeps me coming back for more and more, which brings me to Cindy and I will be in Calgary this coming weekend teaching our course, Spiritual and Financial Freedom. So if you're in the Calgary, British, or Alberta area, please, and if you're interested in figuring out, you know, what's been holding you back from having that spiritual and financial freedom, please come to the course. We help people get unstuck and move forward in such a powerful way and make tremendous shifts during the course of a weekend. We have a few spots available. If you're interested and you live in the area, please email me. You can reach me at Jaden, J-A-D-E-N, at jadensterling.com, and I'll be happy to share all the details with you. Okay, so for today's show, if you have any questions for myself or my guest, please go to, you can reach us one of two ways. You can go to my Facebook page, which is Jaden Sterling's Wealth and Wisdom, or you can call in. And if you're in the United States, I have a toll-free number for you to call. That number is 877-633-9454. Again, for anyone in the United States, they can call toll-free. That number is 877-633-9454. For all other callers in Canada or elsewhere, please use the phone number, area code 626-231-0306. Again, that number is 626-231-0306. And we will be happy to take your calls, answer your questions, anything that you'd like to talk to my guest and I about today would be great. And here we go. Let me introduce you to my guest, Joel Young. Joel is the originator of NPA, which stands for Non-Personal Awareness, and which is a beautifully simple and amazingly powerful approach for letting go of blocks and living your dreams. With nearly 20 years' experience of healing and teaching internationally, Joel brings a depth of wisdom and a great deal of energy and humor to his inspiring talks and seminars. Joel is considered a visionary leader in the field of human consciousness and has even been dubbed a 21st century heretic. With his NPA process and its message, Joel is asking, are you ready for profound change that comes this easy? Boy, what a great question. Are you ready for profound change that comes this easy? In just a few years, Joel has seen NPA spread. Again, NPA stands for Non-Personal Awareness, spread to over 18 countries, and has recently started adding certified NPA teachers into the fold. Joel is passionate and clear in his delivery and has a knack for communicating the essence of a topic in a very simple, heartfelt, and easy-to-digest way. So that is why I wanted to have Joel on the show today. He and I are part of a group together called the Evolutionary Business Council, and I've been hearing his name for months now about how amazing Joel Young is, and you got to get him on your show. And so I am delighted to have Joel with us today and to share him with you. Joel, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. I am delighted to be here.
Wonderful. Well, you know, please share a little bit about, like, you have quite a story. I'll let you share it. Tell the audience a little bit about, you know, your past, where you came from, and how you got to where you are today with your process.
Sure. Well, I started off really back at the beginning. Really, as a musician, all my life I grew up, I was going to be a rock star. That was my story of what I was going to become, and I did okay in that field. But I often say I wasn't as successful as I might have been. I think I might be dead now because of the lifestyle. But what happened instead was I was drawn to spirituality, really, as often the case with many people that I know that have sort of woken up. It takes some kind of crisis somewhere in your life to get you to stop and look at what's going on. for me, actually, interestingly, with non-personal awareness, it wasn't my life that was the calling. It was my girlfriend at the time who had an illness. And through that, we went down the medical route and tried to sort of fix it in the way that we were told you fix these things. It didn't work, and as a result of that, we started looking at, you know, different ways of healing, really. In the beginning, I was highly resistant, you know, quite typically male about these things. But I had a few experiences which sort of switched the light on for me and set me on a track of really uncovering what had always been there, which was a deep understanding that there's something else going on that nobody's talking about. And so from there I got into, first of all, it was kind of, I used to read a lot of tarot cards. And I got into work with someone called Brandon Bass, who does The Journey, which was a real feast of sort of deep inner child emotional work. And I often say the gift of that was that the, you know, I became emotionally fluent. I can navigate the emotional realm very effortlessly, really. Over the years, I got into shamanism, to NLP, all these kind of wonderful things, and really rode the journey of sort of the sort of from the 80s to the noughties ride of the awakening soul, really. Also worked with someone called Byron Katie. Your listener may have heard of Byron Katie as well.
Absolutely.
And she really taught me how to sort of work with the story and the mind and to become very present. And so over that time, I really sort of absorbed myself into this spiritual world. It became my profession. I taught various things, including the journey work all over the world. And then MPA came along, very interestingly, at a time when I was kind of almost at my peak, you'd say, in a way, where you'd think you're at your peak. All the boxes were ticked in terms of the personal growth of spirituality. And literally, I was in a coffee shop, and I was journaling, and a prayer was born through me that was literally, okay, grace, God, universe, if there's something specific in service to the humanity that wants to come through me, then let me know, because I'm ready. And even as the prayer was prayed, it was quite fascinating. It wasn't like I consciously decided, I'm going to make a prayer. It was literally prayed through me. And I was kind of curious because I was teaching to, you know, hundreds of people on a stage. I was going to incredible places. I was very fulfilled, and yet here was this prayer. So I just let it go. I was quite clear if the answer was no, that would have been fine. But there it was. And it was a week later, I was in the same coffee shop journaling. I journal on my laptop, a bit like the Conversations with God approach. And out popped six simple lines, kind of with say these words in relation to something that was going on. With it came kind of those tingly wingly that this is the answer to your prayer. And I was quite shocked as I looked at what was on the page in front of me, and it was just ridiculous. It was like, there's just six lines there. That's my life's purpose? Come on! You know, but actually I've really discovered that its simplicity is its genius, and it comes at a time, is the way that I understand it now, that where sort of it takes less to do more, and so it, in a way it offers or invites less possibility for the personal stuff to get in the way of the healing or the change or the shift or the manifestation, which is ultimately given non-personally anyway. So it's been quite a long road, and in doing that and having this new thing, it's totally shifted the foundations of where I come from in how I teach, what I share, and all these kinds of things. So, and here I am on the Jaden Sterling Show.
Wonderful. Joel, that's great. So now, I also read somewhere that you spent a year, is it true, a year in a cave in India, sort of tucked away?
No, Chinese whispers, not quite a year. I say I disappeared in a cave because that's very true, but that was interesting. I was on a yatra, which is like a spiritual pilgrimage through various different sites in India, and it was in southern India. There's a cave, well, there's a mountain there called Arunachala, which is known in the Hindu tradition as the feet of Shiva. And I was there with a group of other people to sort of go and visit the place where a very famous Indian saint, guru type of person called Sri Ramana Maharishi. And I'd heard that he'd sat in this cave for many, many years, like we're talking many, many years. And it always kind of fascinated me how someone could sit for such a long time. And I've done retreats, I've run retreats where there's sort of 6 days of meditation. I love meditation. But the idea of sitting there for years and years, I'd never quite understood how that was possible. And I was there on this yatra. I've never been the kind of the guru type of person. I'm not sort of a follower of people. I love the offerings from all sorts of different places. But this particular guy, this amazing soul, fascinated me. So, we went to his cave, and as I went into his cave, I had that question, you know, how can anyone meditate for that amount of time? So I went in, I sat down, and it was literally, and I'm going to click my fingers here, it's like, gone. Mm. I was gone. But here's the distinction, is that I'd had lots of experiences with the meditation. So I'd experienced myself as timeless. I'd experienced myself as boundless. I'd experienced myself as the infinite soul connected to all things many, many times. That was often an experience in meditation. But this was like a no experience. There was no me to experience anything being experienced. And literally, it wasn't a year, but it was about 2.5 hours went by. And at the end of that click, I was back. But my eyes flicked open. And I felt like nothing had happened, really, except that I was aware that the people in the cave had changed and these kind of things. And something also very deep noticed. And also I came back into what I now call pure awareness, which I experienced a lot of, which is where there's a real presence, so that everything in its place in the universe, and there's a sort of strong awareness of that, what was really here, which is different, because some people do ask me, oh, you sure didn't fall asleep? I often say I'm an expert of coming out of meditation in sleep, and it's a very different experience. This is like wham, or live waking consciousness. 2.5 hours had gone by, and there was like, there was no experience. It was literally like a gap. And I came out of that cave, and I really didn't understand what had happened. And if I just talked about the coffee shop, which was, I often say, the birth of MPA, this was before that, and it was really, I would think that is the conception of MPA, really. Because in that no space, it was a fundamental equalizer to me. When I came out of there, something inside had understood that all of experience is the illusion. And the game that I've been playing was a very common, and it's still very prevalent, is the spiritual game of achievement, really, where somehow higher states or enlightened states are deemed better than lower states. And there's contextual truth in there, but fundamentally that's a lie that we get sucked into. And what I got from that experience, and then when MPA came along much deeper, was that all the experience is born out of that non-experience space. And the minute that there's any experience being experienced, then there's you and the experiencer, therefore you're in duality, therefore you're in the great illusion, the dance of life. And that really shifted everything for me.
Wow, that's profound. Thank you for sharing that story. And
you're welcome.
Do you believe that is meditation the only way to get to that state of non-experience?
No, I don't believe there's any one way to get to anything. Again, it's one of the big things that I talk about in the heresy, is that people often say this causes that. And again, if you take a certain context, it can be seen as truth. But generally, I think there are always, in because of the infinite nature of experience or the dance of life and the universe in all its subtle forms, in all its sort of distinct forms, the way I see the universe is that there are always multiple ways. In fact, there's multiple simultaneous ways to go anywhere. And I think the key to the experience of wholeness or a fulfilled life is to really honor what it is that is genuinely coming through you in each moment. And so that comes back to, on one hand, the more consciously you'd like to experience that, the more conscious you would choose to become. And then there's a point in any learning process where you need to hand over from to what they call unconscious competence, where you just become the flow of what's coming through. And through that, there's, you know, the way to get to those experiences is just to literally be. it's back to that simplicity. There's nothing to do? No, there's nothing to do. And also, the other thing about the question there of do you need to meditate to get to that experience, when I teach about it and I talk about the story of the cave, I say it's not that that's to give you a new goal. So if you've reached a state where you can be very present, you know, or really get in touch with the soul and the lessons of life or whatever that is, those different layers of experience, it's not that you now need to reach this no space. I actually think that it is the substrate, the backdrop against which the silence, against which the noise can be heard. And so I think what happened in the cave was a very sort of visceral, conscious awareness of that phenomenon that I could then share. But actually, I think we all have moments. It's always here. It's part of the backdrop of who we experience ourselves to be. And it's just a question of noticing it. And in terms of experience, it's kind of irrelevant, really, because there's no experience there. So it's only there as a backdrop against which, you know, experience has some relevance.
Wow, so it's like experiencing the non-experience.
Yeah, well, that's the trap. You see, you can't experience it because it's not experience. Because people say, oh, I know what that is, I've experienced this, and the minute they start talking about phenomena, like, and there are amazing sort of enlightened states of profound states, really vast connection to all things, but all of those are experience. In order to have an experience, you need to split into experience and experiencer. So that is just as much an illusion, although there's a different experience we tend to have with it, as, you know, some of the most sort of separate or condensed, what I call sort of condensed experiences, which are often called the ego states. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, it's the same. It's just there's a different experience. And when you really neutralize all of the judgment, you're incredibly free to allow the full expression, the widest aperture of this human experience to come through. And one of the reasons, and it's interesting, we should happen to be going here on this call, because I feel there's a strong call in many people who are very awake and yet can get trapped in the sort of striving for those upper states, but it tends to make a logjam of the lower states. And it's not like I'm sort of suggesting people go and sort of live in that lower state deliberately as a balance, but there is a case of when you drop the judgment around it, then those the more contracted emotions, if you like it, or the more challenging experiences tend to just flow through without any resistance, and then it's not really a problem, because there's that backdrop of presence, of allowing, often it's called allowing in the law of attraction circles, but that's fundamentally what you get when you can neutralize that judgment of this state is better than that state without a context, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is neat. And is this what you're talking about now, is this the basis of NPA?
It is. One of the things, on my website there's a free thing called the MPA Foundational, because a lot of people come to the process itself, which we haven't really got into, but the process is a simple way for your brain to get around this, where it kind of bypasses all of the stuff. But underneath that, for those that love to sort of really understand it, and I noticed a lot of people that come to MPA are already have done a lot of work on themselves or have become into an awakened state. But this that we've been speaking of, it really is it's the ocean on which that the process floats, so people can sort of pick up the process and use it for all those amazing things. It can help you let go of the yucky stuff, let in the yummy stuff of life, And as a practice, it helps you to connect deeper to this wholeness, as I love to call it, this wholeness, where you can really begin to allow what is truly given through you, or which is your life stream coming through you, to flow really very effortlessly.
Wow. Joel, can you give us an example of that, of the process?
Sure, yeah. I can walk you through one. I can do one with you. If you have a caller who wants to call in, I can take them through, because there's no better way than experiencing it. So I don't know if you have a caller there that wants to come on and do that. Or I can give you an example. I'll tell you what, just in case someone's there, and I can just talk you through it anyway.
Sure.
A good example might be the process. So it starts with a question, one of two questions, actually. One of the questions is, what are you experiencing that you would like to allow to pass? So this isn't what you want to fix. It's what you're experiencing that you'd like to kind of pass, and that looks for the yucky stuff. So suppose I say that question to somebody, and they would then do what I call a spew, which means they just talk about it. It's not about analyzing it, trying to figure out. It's literally just letting the expression come in relation to the question. And then I'd be listening for literally what pops out. So that might be a phrase, it might be an expression of a physical expression, it might be a single word. And again, it's not that I'm trying to get clever about what I think is really going on. It's literally in that expression what pops out.
Well, so actually, we have a caller who just dialed in. What if we bring him on the air and work through this process? What do you say?
I think that's the best way to do it. People will really get it if they can experience it.
Let's see
who
we
got
here. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
Paige.
Paige, how are you?
I was listening online and I thought, I'm going to switch over.
Excellent. Well, you called at the right time. Are you ready to have Joel do this process with you?
Please.
Okay. Joel, I think you know Paige.
I do indeed, yeah. Paige came along. I was touring across Canada earlier this year, and you came along Calgary, didn't you? And great to hear you, Paige.
Hi, Joel.
Good to see you. Okay, well, so the listener can really get it. I'll start with, there's one of two questions, but I'm going to ask you question number one, which is, what are you experiencing that you would like to allow to pass? And just so everyone knows, I know you've done this before, but you're just going to let rip, just spew, tell me what's going on, and I'll be listening for literally what pops out. It might be different to what other people hear. You know, if you're listening into this, you might hear something different. But because there's this connection between me and Paige, I'm listening for the process. What pops out to me will be the right thing, although I will check in with you. So, Paige, what are you experiencing that you would like to allow to pass?
Well, I've just come across a new opportunity for myself. Later today, I'll be finalizing the details of a space that I'll be working out of to do my healing. And I'm quite excited about it, but there's always, for some reason, I always seem to allow myself to go into that little bit of fear. I know that this has all been, for lack of a better term, divinely guided, and I'm doing the right thing, and everything's working out to my favor, and it's almost staggering when I think of how this all came to be about. So I'm just want to know if there's a possibility of getting rid of that little piece of doubt that I would call ego that steps up and goes, well, you know, this could just totally fall down and not work at all. And then the other side is like, are you kidding me? No way. This is absolutely meant to be. So I have almost, two minds going here, and I would like the more positive, forward-thinking one to rule more than the ego.
Great. Well done. Okay, so again, just so you guys know, I didn't interrupt her at all. That's an important part of doing MPA. Just let it run. So there was a number that popped out to me there, Paige. I'm going to feed them back to you. And again, very interestingly, one of the first ones that popped out to me early on was finalizing. You're talking about finalizing something. And wouldn't necessarily be what I would call the yucky stuff, which is where that question tends to lead you, but nevertheless, I always trust what pops out. The other thing, though, is there's a few more, but I'll mention one of the ones, which is two minds. Right at the end there, you just said, you know, I want those two minds. So you've got two minds going on. So between finalizing and two minds, which one do you want to play with today?
Two minds.
Yeah, great, okay. So, folks, I'm just going to run this through. It's six simple lines. Three of them are the same, and there's a gap. Again, if you go to the website, you can download these words. And in the gap is going to go this two minds, which is exactly the way she said it, and I'm going to repeat it back in that way. So, Paige, you just need to repeat out loud the words after me. So repeat after me. This two minds.
This two minds.
This energy of two minds.
This energy of two minds.
This pure energy of two minds.
This pure energy of two minds.
Is not personal.
Is not personal.
This pure energy of two minds.
This pure energy of two minds.
Is not personal.
Is not personal.
This pure energy of two minds.
This pure energy of two minds.
Is not personal.
Is not personal.
And I am willing to experience it.
And I am willing to experience it.
So just be inwardly still for a moment. Notice and allow what, if anything, is showing up for you. And when you feel some natural completion, just let us know.
So what I'm feeling now is sadness, because it's like a part of me is going. My awareness that something's leaving, and that's okay.
So again, I would just invite you just to be still with it. Often we want to sort of rush in and analyze it.
Okay.
I know we're on a radio show, so silence isn't always the best. But I'm going to invite you, Paige, just to be still with it a little bit longer, just to allow it to complete itself. And as you do that, just so everyone can know, it's often in this silence at the end where the process can be sort of fully felt, although sometimes there's no feeling. It's kind of weird, but it's important to give this time, especially if stuff is moving, just to honor the movement of it without touching it. Just let us know when you complete, Paige.
Okay.
Great. So what did you experience there?
I felt a definite, I'll call it shift, just a lightness, a less of the cloudiness, more clear, I guess you call it. But it feels lighter.
From cloudy to clear and lighter. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for your public demonstration.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Paige. That's terrific. Joel, good work.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so simple, really. And hopefully, you know, just again, you can listen back, and there's explanations we have on the website and such like. But it really is, you find what I call it the cookie cutter, which in Paige's case was two minds. And that's an energy, and the words that she uses or her expression of it is the pointer to an entire body of consciousness which she's engaged with or identified with, really. She's taken it personally on a very deep level. And then it activates and works. And by running it through the process, it really helps the system within the personality to understand its energetic nature, that it's pure, it's neutral. And in willingness to experience it, there's an evocation of allowing it to pass rather than the sort of resistance that would have been there in the judgment. And in that space, as you felt, there's a sort of tendency to sort of just move in. And often all the things that I do when I teach it and share it in seminars and all these kind of things is about helping people just to let it be as simple as it is.
Mm. Yeah, and it seems really simple. So is it oftentimes hard for people to believe that it actually works because it's that simple?
Yeah, it really is. Especially as there's an interesting phenomenon that you'll get with MPA. Sometimes you won't get what I call a subjective win.
Right.
We're quite highly trained in the awakening and sort of personal development world to take a big emotional experience as indicators of something happening. But what this is really doing, I've come to understand, is it may be that part of your local awareness is involved. That would be your subjective win. But there are times when things are happening, beyond the self, really, and there's no reason for you to experience it in the moment, anything. So there's times when people will say MPA, they'll go through and it's like nothing, it's empty words. I mean, the first time I ever experienced that was quite interesting. In the early days, I had no idea what this thing was that I had. And I would, so I was experimenting, trying it in different situations, see if I could find an edge for it. And I was on a tube going into London. I've got a clinic in London, and I had some indigestion. So I was asking myself, what am I experiencing? I'd like to have a pass. It turned out the way that I expressed it in the moment was esophageal pain. I don't know why, but that's how it worked. And I thought, well, I'll just see, because I hadn't at that point tried it on physical pain. So I said the word, this esophageal pain, this energy of esophageal pain through, and I'm willing to experience it. And literally nothing happened. And I was like, oh, well, maybe it doesn't work with physical pain. I was fine with that. I was experimenting. Anyway, two stops later, I get out of the train, and I'm patting myself down, going, "Hang on a minute, where's it gone?" that didn't fit. It was literally like I'd left it on the chair. I don't know who sat there next, but it's like I'd left it on the chair behind me, and that taught me a great lesson because I at that point my training said that I needed to sort of feel the emotions for it to pass, or question the thoughts that were, all those things that I'd learnt was what it took in order to make that kind of shift. I said words. It was like empty. It was just like an experimental empty words, and yet it just went. And I see that a lot, and it often takes people by surprise when that kind of thing happens.
So in inviting this process, which is the question, what are you experiencing that you would like to allow to pass, is that something that needs to be said out loud? Or, for instance, if you're doing it on yourself, or is it good enough to just inside your own mind to ask that question?
I think what I've learned over time is that different people have better abilities at doing that than I do. I'm an out loud kind of guy. I need to have some kind of expression, whether it's typing it out on the screen as I do when I journal, or saying it out loud. And it's also it is really helpful if you can get someone else to listen, because they really have no agenda. They haven't got any part of them that's invested in in what they spot when in terms of your expression. But so I tend to be out loud. But there are people I know, especially in situations like if you're in a work situation, you're not going to be wanting to suddenly spewing out loud. especially if you find a cookie cutter that might offend your boss.
Exactly.
Those times.
So either way, it'll work just fine.
No, finding your cookie cutters is great out loud, and otherwise it's okay. Same with the process, really. I'm a big fan of expressing out loud. I think there's a power in expression, and then you sort of witness it at a deeper level. But I do know, I have lots of examples of people that say they did it in their head, and they noticed the shift anyway quite profoundly. So.
Excellent. So I've heard you often say that MPA is a process, and it's just the beginning. It's like a bridge to a new consciousness. Can you tell us a little bit about, within the next 2 minutes, what you mean by that in terms of a bridge to new consciousness?
Yeah, well, again, we've got an audio product called The Bridge, and it really is, I've really come to understand. What we began talking about today, Jaden, was the deeper stuff. And it's, you can hear all of this information and go, oh, yeah, that sounds really cool. And what I've noticed is that doing the process and practicing it and sort of, in a way, sort of studying it and literally it's the practice of it, it wakes up at this sort of this deeper level, this that we were talking about earlier, this awareness of the multiple perspectives, this awareness of the ability just to let life through you, and fundamentally, that which we haven't really covered, but nothing is personal. On a quantum level, nothing is personal. So doing the process or coming in and engaging with the process at a deeper level, I've noticed it is critical. Even for people that have done a lot of work already, which I had done lots of work, there's a way it works its magic through you and then opens you into this even greater level of wholeness.
Wonderful. Wow, Joel, this is fantastic. I knew I was going to really enjoy having you on the show, and I would love for you to come back someday, and we'll go a little deeper into this process. But for now, please share with the audience your website, because I know everyone's going to want to get that document that you have that can get them started on this.
Sure. Well, really, the main place to go is to nonpersonalawareness.com. It's one word, nonpersonalawareness.com. Yeah, and you can sign up for the foundational there. It comes in four parts. It's a document and really will inspire you into a deeper level. And you can also check out, it's on the main menu there, the shop. And if you really want to get sort of instructed, you can download the bridge and get hold of that. And also look out, we've got teachers now, so we're starting to put more events in the diary. I'm writing at the moment, so my events are on the download. But I'll give you an exclusive here, Jaden. I'm going to be announcing a virtual MPA Expansive, which is the full two-day teaching condensed into a way to work from anywhere in the world on a teleseminar style. So look out for that. And you can if you sign up for the foundational, you'll get notified of when that becomes available.
Excellent. Congratulations on that. That's going to be fantastic. And so no dates in Calgary again anytime soon, or potentially next year, or what are your thoughts?
Potentially next year. Okay. I need to sort of get some things. There's a number of dates and things like that that we need to organize. But yeah, definitely coming to Canada again 2014. Absolutely.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to that when you come, and looking forward to connecting with you, and really enjoyed having you on the show today, Joel. Thank you so much for sharing and for, I know you just got back from vacation and we appreciate you coming on and sharing this. This is fantastic. I encourage everyone to go to Joel's site. Again, that address is nonpersonalawareness.com. That's all one word. Click there, go to a site, look around. It's a terrific site, and you can download that free document, and we'll get you started on the process. Joel, you are awesome. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on, Jaden. It's a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure as well. Have a great day. All right, everyone. Joel Young, you heard him. I knew you'd enjoy hearing him. He is fantastic. It is a tremendous process for that I know many, many people have experienced great, great success with. They've let go of their stuff, and what struck me about Joel is how easy and simple the process is. And also that it invites a whole new level of consciousness to come forward. And you know, initially when he was talking, I was trying to wrap my conscious thinking mind around, oh, okay, trying to not think about an experience. Well, that's a little challenging. I don't know if any of our listeners today had that experience as well, but I was like, wow, okay, how do you think about a non-experience? Well, then I guess you just allow for that state of beingness to be present. That all I could think of was a connection directly with the divine or with source. And when we are in that state of grace, that all kinds of things can flow through us and from us. So it's releasing whatever it is, like Joel says, whatever you're experiencing that you would like to allow to pass. I love those words, allow to pass. That was great. And okay, so next week I also have another fantastic healer coming on the show. His name is Christopher Timms. You are going to love Christopher and his work. He's a wealth of knowledge, and he founded the Order of the Blue Star, and through it he began sharing the eternal teachings worldwide. And he did this like 20 years ago. So Christopher is one of the real leaders pioneers in the alternative energy healing field. He's developed his own signature system of sound energy work years before sound energy became popular. His signature system of healing is called Sound Energy Dynamics, in which he uses tuning forks over and around the body to release dissonant energy forms such as emotions, memories, concepts, and structures without the need for diagnosis processing or analysis. And that's another thing I really enjoy about Christopher's work. Just like Joel, it's simple and it's fast and easy. And I think we're really into, you know, in this day and age, let's get it simple and let's get it fast and easy, right? Let's get through our stuff to move along, because we all have major things to do and big things in life. So Christopher is going to talk about how to successfully balance business and spirituality. So I know you're going to enjoy that conversation. And for more information about me and my work, please visit my website. It's called thewealthquest.com, all one word, thewealthquest.com. And sign up for my free ebook called Your Destiny Delivered, where I share the 5 essential questions to ask yourself in order to discover your soul's purpose. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and listening today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I think this month we're going to call the Healing Quickly Month. So have a fantastic week, and I'll see you next week. Take care.
GEICO presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, 2 self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. GEICO has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting GEICO.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.